Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. So hello and welcome to our latest Talk Canicross episode. This is the time of year when many of us will be setting personal fitness goals. If you're new to Canicross and indeed running, you may even be looking to complete your first Couch to 5K, for example, or even you're an accomplished runner looking to improve your speed or fitness. But whatever camp you sit in, there's no doubt that we can all learn to be better runners, and me included. And a lot of that starts from the way we run, not just how far and how fast. So today, Janetta and I are very, very pleased to welcome experienced running coach and Canicross instructor, Michelle Mortimer. And she's with us today to share her top tips for improving our running form and also hopefully give us a bit of motivation to get started in 2021 as we mean to go on. So first of all, welcome, Michelle. It's lovely to hear from you today.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on. And just to kick us off, perhaps you could just explain some of your background and how you got to be a running coach for everyone listening.
Yeah, of course. Well, I started running probably about 20 years ago now, just to get moving and be a bit healthier, really. I thought I was a bit stop-start back then. I'd train for an event, stop a bit, and I didn't know many other runners, so it was all a bit lonely. Around 10 years ago, when I decided to start a running group with my husband and a couple of friends, that was when running really became a big part of my life. The group became a running club. We affiliated to UK Athletics, and that's what prompted me to train as a leader in running fitness, first of all, and then as a coach, just to enable us to deliver safe sessions that were insured. In the meantime, my husband and I had had a daughter, and I decided not to go back to my full-time job in marketing. So I set up Miles with Michelle and thought, I'll just try and see if I can start a business, really, in offering some private coaching and personalised training plans. And here I am. So I'm also a volunteer run leader mentor with UK Athletics as well. So because of the position I was in at the start, we kind of set up a club from scratch. I volunteer now to offer advice to other people wanting to set up running groups or take on qualifications. So my life is basically running now. It's my hobby and my job.
That's wonderful. It sounds like you're kept very busy. And so what sort of running is it you're doing? What sort of terrain and what sort of distances then with the club?
Well, I don't actually run with the club that we set up now, because that was over in Lincolnshire. And my husband and I moved to Bolton about 3.5 years ago now. So that club's been passed on. That's under new chairman and everything. That's still going, I think. Nowadays, I tend just to run private coaching sessions. And I do lead a group locally as well, that's mainly road running for beginners. But most of all, my first love is trail running. So that's what I do most of, with the dog, obviously.
I mean, that's quite interesting in itself, because obviously as someone who started off as a road runner, really curious, you know, what made you then decide to take up Canicross?
Oh, well, Canicross kind of found me, really, via Lara at DogFit. We've had a dog called Bella she's 13 now, and we adopted our second dog, Poppy, 3 years ago. Now, she's a rescue from Romania. We think she's a Pedenko. We're not quite sure. Pedenkos are sighthounds, which are bred for hunting rabbits. So her prey drive, as you can imagine, is absolutely off the scale. And we're in the West Pennine Moors here. So we've got lots of sheep, lots of cattle grazing. There's deer everywhere. And if I let her off the lead, honestly, I'll lose her, or she'll get herself into trouble. So that prompted my decision to keep her on the lead. Now, I thought I'll start Canicross, I'll start some running with her on the lead. But I had no idea what I was doing. There was nobody local to offer advice to me, really. I didn't know where to look. And I turned to Twitter, and I know Lara, who works for DogFit, and she advised me she gave me lots of advice on what I should be wearing, but then pointed me in the direction of dog fit qualifications. So it all just worked out beautifully, really. So when I trained up as a Canicross instructor, I was new to it as well. So I've been learning as I've been going along, which is why I tend to work with beginners now, because I know that they're in exactly the same position that I was 3 years ago, with not really knowing where to start or what to do. I would have loved to have been to see somebody who could have lent me some kits, try it on the dog, tell me what worked, what commands to use. So I just try and pass that on now.
So that sounds amazing, Michelle. And obviously one of the reasons we started DogFit was really to bring good instruction to people that couldn't find any classes around through our DogFit trainers. You obviously are a very experienced running coach anyway, but how in actually your running, how much different do you find it when you're canicrossing to how you were trail running before?
Well, in terms of trail running, it's not that much different. I've been a big trail runner for about 9-10 years now anyway. So really, it's just a chance for me to take my dogs to work or to take the dogs on a run with me. It's brilliant. So I haven't really changed much about how I run, really. It's just much more companionable having Poppy there and knowing that she can't escape.
I must admit, I've got dogs like that, that I would, yeah. I've been a saviour having the Canicross equipment. And even if I go on holidays where there's lots of cattle around, I even use it for canny trekking, just that I've got hands free and I'm not being yanked by the on the arm and through the shoulder, so it's a lot more comfortable. But I know what you mean. We have a lot of clients that come to us, as I'm sure yourself, who have dogs that can't be let off the lead, and it is a godsend having that equipment. If you were sort of, for someone who's new to Canicross, you know, what's the thing that you love the most about it, would you say?
Well, it's easier to run up hills.
As long as they pull, yeah.
Well, yeah. But that aside, I mean, it's just, for me, it's a really social thing to do. I'm never running on my own. I can always take the dog with me. So I've got that option. But in terms of running as a group, as a Canicross pack, we've not done much of that this year, sadly, with what's happened. But our social pack meetups have been brilliant, with Poppy being a rescue dog. It's been great for her to interact safely with other dogs as a pack. They seem to kind of behave themselves better in a pack. They just kind of get into this mindset where they'll just run and, you know, they don't seem to get as distracted like they do when they're out on a walk. So it's just been brilliant for that, really. That's what I love most about Canicross.
Yeah, there's a big social side as well, isn't there? I know we've all been through a kind of difficult year and not being able to sort of run with so many people, but we've all made lots of good friends through the sport. Are there any, I know you said you focus a lot on beginners and obviously helping introduce people to the sport, which is always rewarding, especially, you know, when they think it's something they can't do and then they discover this fabulous sport that they can do with their dogs. Are there any stories in particular with people that you've helped that kind of stay in your mind?
I think the standout one really has been the first person that I kind of tested the couch to 5K that you run through DogFit on. So I just qualified as a trainer and I said to my friend, she had a dog, I said, let's go out running. She was not a runner at all. So I said, let me test the couch to 5K on you. And that must have been, I can't even remember how long it's been since I trained with you. It must have been a good couple of years now. But she's a runner now. She's run, I think she's done 21 miles running now. So
Wow. She
would, and I think she would never have done that had she not started off running with her dog. She's kind of discovered a love of running through Canicross. So I think that's just brilliant. And that for me is a success story. Like, I've got somebody running.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. And committed all that time and loving it by the sound of it. Yeah, and I presume her dog's enjoying every minute as well.
Yeah, a dog loves it, so that's brilliant. It's lovely to see. They all love it though, don't they? The dogs just seem to thrive on just going for a run with us.
Oh,
it's brilliant.
Oh, definitely. It's just wonderful. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about today, because as in your capacity as running coach, is just around running form, because we all need to think about, there's always ways we can improve our running form, and you add to the dimension of a dog pulling you as well. You know, it's even more important to be thinking about that. So I thought maybe the best place to start is to ask you, you know, what is what would be examples of poor form when it comes to running?
Well, I mean, running form in itself is a minefield, because we all obviously want great running form, but if we try and change too much without the eye of somebody who knows what they're looking for, we can sometimes make things worse and cause issues if we're not careful. But I'd say a few things that I tend to notice most that a lot of runners do that they can improve on are, first of all, a lot of people I see swinging their arms across the bodies. So they twist at the waist, which is just wasted energy, really. When we're running, we want forward movement. So this kind of swinging arms across your body, we need to look at having our arms nice and straight. And another thing I see a lot of, which is, has been exacerbated with spending lots of time either in a car or in front of a computer, is slouching at the waist. So running really should be our opportunity to kind of stretch out, straighten up our posture. And you, if you look next time you're out and you see people running, just have a look at how many are kind of still almost sitting down at the waist when they're running. And what this does is it just makes us much heavier on our feet. So we're just not, we're not standing as tall and we're not moving as quickly as we perhaps could be. The other thing which you probably hear a lot about is overstriding. So this can cause a lot of injuries. And what it means is your foot basically lands on the ground ahead of your knee and your hip rather than in alignment with both of them. And overstriding can cause us to break while the rest of our body catches up. So this can also cause injury because we've got a greater impact time with the ground. So it's important not to overstride. That, as I've said, it's hard to try and make corrections yourself, though. You should always kind of seek the help of a coach who can kind of look at what you're doing and say that could be causing an injury, or no, that's fine. Because some of us, we don't all run with perfect running form, but don't experience any injuries. And I always say, if nothing's causing you pain, don't change it.
I see. Yeah, no, it's good advice. And so it sounds like, for what you're saying then, straight arms, stand up tall and don't overstride are probably the three big things to think about. But
yeah,
get advice
pretty,
if you can.
Much. Yeah.
Mm.
That, I mean, it's making me sit up already, and
yeah.
I'm listening to you, and
I can
feel
now.
I can feel my kind of shoulders going back, and then I think I am definitely one of those runners that kind of do the overstriding thing. So, yeah, that's some valuable insight. So, is there a mental checklist that you would advise for someone before they start off?
Yeah, I've got a really good list that's easy to remember. So, head, hands, hips, heels. So just four things: head, hands, hips, heels. Really,
I can see Gail writing that down.
Yeah, I'm writing it down because I'm going to practice it as soon as I get out with my dog in the morning.
So heads, hands, hips, heels.
Yes.
And do you visualise sort of keeping those in alignment then? Is that?
Yeah. So you want to be tall. So you need to be looking straight ahead when you're running as well, not at the ground. Even more important when you're trail running. You tend to see people looking at the ground, especially if they're beginners to it. You don't need to do that. Your brain does all the scanning for you. Your brain is way ahead of you. So just look straight ahead. That'll naturally straighten up your posture and relax your shoulders. We're all very hunched anyway. You know, we're always at the computer, aren't we? So I tend to use every time I watch buzzes as a reminder to kind of roll my shoulders back and just relax. So nice and upright. So your hands, we've already talked a bit about not swinging arms across our bodies. So your arms should be driving you forward. So your hands shouldn't be clenched. If they're clenched, we've probably got tension in our shoulders. And we should be using our arms. Think about what we do when we swim. We kind of pull our bodies forward through the water, don't we? It's similar when we're running. We drive our arms backwards, which propels us forward. So if you have a practice when we've finished here, try running on the spot quickly with your arms down your side, and you'll see how much our arms actually help us when we run. So again, great for canicross because we're hands free, aren't we? So we can really use them.
Well, I was going to ask you, because we're adding the dog then, so it sounds like you'd still apply the same theory to whether you're running with or without dog. Would you say? Yeah.
Absolutely. Our hips in particular. So I was talking earlier about standing upright, just really pulling your core in. If you think about the position we're in when we canicross, we've got the dog joined via a bungee lead to our waist belt. It's pulling us forward at the hips. So actually canicross is getting us in that better running posture. If you think about it, we're pulled forward, aren't we? We're not slouching. So canicross is a great opportunity for us to practice that we can then take forward into running on our own as well.
So when you're running your Canicross classes, are you advising those clients differently as when you're coaching a client that maybe is running dogless, or do you approach it in exactly the same way?
To be honest, for me, it's exactly the same. And I tend to focus more on beginners to Canicross anyway. So we don't really get involved too much in technique when people are starting. I think people are mostly worried about, will my dog pull me over? And obviously balance is a big part of that, isn't it? So balance tends to be the thing we work on most. So using your arms to help your balance down the hills, just keeping up with your dog, really. So we don't tend to get too involved in technique. I think that's something that comes later when you're looking to improve a little.
Yeah. I mean, you said about balance. So do you give your customers like exercises to do, or is it stuff that you do when you're out together on the actual run?
Well, the only homework I'll ever give people if they are struggling with balance is whilst they're brushing the teeth, just stand on one leg for a minute at a time. Honestly, that is one of the best things you can do as a runner, is just strengthen your leg and just, yeah, you know, do
I've
that
I've heard
twice
that. Is it proprioception? I can actually say the word now. It's taken me a year.
No, that's
it's
great.
It's so effective though, honestly. And trail running obviously builds that and strengthens all those muscles anyway, which we're doing anyway, canicrossing. So it really is, canicross does build better runners, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody that's become a regular canicrosser with you and obviously running further distances, how do you help them to increase their speed and running a faster 5K, for example? What steps would you take there?
Well, I'd prescribe them two things. So to run a 5K faster, you'd need to work on, first of all, your speed. So we can introduce things such as intervals, timed intervals, or fartlek, which are a little bit less structured and better for doing with a dog. So intervals, I'd probably advise they do on their own, because they'll be something like, you know, run 6 times 1 minute hard to kind of really improve your speed. And I know a lot of people will prefer to do those without the dog. And then secondly, we'll work on speed endurance, which is about maintaining that faster speed for longer. So again, that might be better to do without the dog, depending on how much stamina your dog has. But really working on those two things will help you improve your 5K speed. So not necessarily done with your dog, but alongside your normal canicrossing.
So I guess it's a case of then mixing up your running, practicing your form without a dog and practicing some of the pace, and then when you add the dog into the equation, you've then that sort of stepping up an element, getting used to running with the dog as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that running with a dog can help you increase that top speed more naturally. If you've got a strong puller, you're naturally going to be getting your cadence up and increasing your stride length a little whilst running faster. So it's just taking elements from everything, really.
I mean, that's what we're all hoping for, aren't we? That our dog's going to help us get PBs. I mean, that's really why we're doing it. I must admit, though, it's so much more fun running with a dog, and it does take out the hard work sometimes. You know, you might be doing a 5K time trial part run or something, but it's so much different when you've got a dog running with you than doing it on your own. It just takes that pressure off, and it is fun. And the dog's absolutely loving it. So, but yeah, if we can get a PB at the same time, we're all for it.
Absolutely. And we can't forget the dogs in all of this, because obviously they're our partners when we're canicrossing. What benefits have you seen with your dog? And also some of your, when you've introduced people to the sport, how you've seen their dogs develop?
Oh, well, for Poppy, when she came to us, she was a nervous little street dog. And canicross has just completely transformed her. First of all, I think canicross helped her to bond with me, because, you know, that they really have to be in tune with what you're saying, don't they? They have to listen for your voice commands. They have to know what's going on at the other end of that lead. So we've really got a strong bond there. And the social runs that we do have just really helped her build in confidence. You can see when she gets together with the pack that she's the boss lady. She likes to, she's barking, she's excited, she's checking in with all the dogs. Are you okay? Are you okay? If she's at the back, if I'm helping someone who's at the back of our pack, she'll immediately then want to sprint to the front to check the front runner. So she's a different dog. Honestly, Canicross has just given us so much. It's just brilliant. And I find a lot of the dogs that I Canicross with in our park, most of them are rescue dogs, funnily enough. And they just get so much out of it. Yeah, they love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And rescue dogs particularly, or even dogs with socialisation issues, you know, DogFit really welcome that into our classes because it can be so transformational for the owner and their dog, because the owner is sometimes worried or embarrassed to bring their dog along to a class because they think it's going to play up and, you know, in front of everybody else. But actually, the sport is just brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I'm very apologetic about Poppy normally when we're out walking, because she is always the dog who will say hello with a flurry of barks. She's the loudest dog. But when Canicrossing as a pack, she's quiet. When she's actually running, and she doesn't cause any issues. I think she's just so excitable. And somehow Canicross just helps to kind of focus all that.
Focus is definitely the right word, because as you said about a lot of dogs that have got maybe reactive dogs or socialisation issues, just having that focus just definitely helps. And that's the great thing about Canicross. And it's very rewarding, because, you know, we hear time and time again, you know, people that have experienced Canicross and they never thought their dog would be able to run amongst other dogs, and it was a stress-free situation for the owner, and it's you know, it's great. And it's the more they do it, the more the dog it becomes the norm to the dog, so you know, it's only a good thing to do it. But it's good to know that you're getting a lot of your customers coming to you with they've got rescue dogs that can't be let off the lead, and they're all finding it's a really good training tool for them.
Yeah, I mean, Poppy is my personal trainer. Some days I would not get out for a run if I didn't have Poppy with me. And I know a lot of people who run with me, they're active because of their dog. So exercising their dog is the reason that they get out for a run. So it's just brilliant to see that the dogs are kind of really helping us just stay active.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. And I know that obviously we will put in the show notes your coaching, because you do one-to-one coaching with people and online coaching for running. When you're doing your Canicross classes, are you having people stretching at the beginning and at the end of the class? What's your thoughts on the stretching? Because there's lots of different trains of thought on that.
Yeah, stretching I would never really do before a run, or if we do, we would always have a warm up first and then we'd incorporate some dynamic stretches, so whilst we're moving. So we would never do stretches while we were cold, because that can cause injury. And we do always have a stretch down afterwards just to lengthen those muscles out again that we've used. So yeah.
And given that you know, we're at the start of 2021, you know, in terms of people getting motivated to get out, because there'll be a lot of people listening to this who haven't done Canicross before, or they're new to Canicross, and you know, hopefully there'll be some listening to get some top tips on how to improve. But for those new to the sport, you know, what would you say is the best thing, the way to approach, you know, in terms of motivation wise new year and getting fit? You know, have you got any top tips for how to do that without failing fast?
What, in terms of getting out and about, you mean?
Yeah, just in terms of how to sort of mentally approach it, and if they're thinking of getting involved in Canicross, because, you know, to me it'd be things like not going out, doing too much too soon. But, you know, in terms of your experiences, and you've obviously have a lot of people that probably come to you in the new year having goals for in terms of New Year's resolutions, you know, what are the sort of things that work for people that tend to stick with it?
Well, the main factor tends to be having an event to work towards, which is kind of difficult at the moment, but you can set yourself a goal. So, for example, I want to be able to complete a 10K. I mean, you've obviously got the virtual challenges with DogFit that people can join in with. So setting a goal like that, or booking a race, is a good thing to work towards. Or just finding a friend who will do it with you, because I find I'm less likely to let a friend down if I've arranged to go out for a run than I would if I was just going on my own. And it's the same with the dog. I mean, the dog always needs exercising, doesn't she? So I'm not going to say we're not going out for a run.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my kind of top motivation tips.
Yeah,
book
brilliant.
Something in, or find a friend. Yeah.
Yeah, and the dog is a great motivator, like you said. They've got to go out, so
yeah,
why not run with them?
Might as well put your trainers on.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why not?
It's been great listening to the benefits that you bring for people when you're obviously coaching through the Canicross training. And I know we're all looking forward to getting into next year and setting some goals, whether they're a virtual event or joining in a more organised one. But for anyone listening to the programme, what advice would you give them if they hadn't done Canicross before, have been sitting on the sidelines? What advice would you give them?
I would say contact a local trainer through Dogfit, or, you know, a local trainer to you, and just go and give it a try. It is so much fun. I am so glad I found Canicross. I was really nervous about starting it, and I felt a bit intimidated by the local Canicross trail running groups because I thought, oh, I don't know anything. They're all going to laugh at me. But they don't. And it's, you know, it's the best thing I ever did was just going and trying it. So it's so much fun. Our Dogfit trainers will always, you know, they have kit for you to try out. They'll give you some good advice to get started. And they're often one-to-one. So, you know, you don't need to be embarrassed or anything, but just go and give it a go. And I guarantee your dog will love it and you will never look back.
Absolutely.
That's great advice. Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been absolutely wonderful to chat with you today. And yeah, we'll have all the links for people to find out more about the coaching support and training plans that you provide, and also, you know, to contact you as a Dogfit trainer. And we'll make sure that's all in the podcast notes. But yeah, I just wanted to say a massive thank you. And I'm going to go out and practice some of those tips from running form and hope I'm going to improve my 5K time now. So thank you so much. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Lovely to talk to you both.